we get mostly birds, especially we get a lot of seabirds. We have quite a few mammals, and then we do get a few reptiles.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Morro Bay, California. Right now we're sequestered at Pacific Wildlife Care's facilities, which is a hard place to find. And we're here with Meg Crockett, who's a board member, and Kathleen Dillon, facilities and board member.
Hello.
Good to see you here.
I understand you're coming up on your 30th anniversary.
Yes, our 30th anniversary as a nonprofit. So there was an oil spill, and people got together and said, you know, nobody is really taking care of wildlife in San Luis Obispo County. I guess it's us. And so they didn't know what they were doing. They self-taught. We had pelicans and bathtubs, and everybody was doing home rehab, but they had some connection. Then in 1987, they decided they'd form themselves into a nonprofit, but they were still working out of their homes. It took a long time to get everything together to open a facility in one place, which was in Morro Bay. We're in the back of the power plant, kind of hard to find. As you say, when people find an animal, we have them call 543 Wild because we want to tell them how to get there because it's not too easy. We opened in 2007. We've probably taken in 21,000 animals since then. But the next big thing that happened after we opened was in 2012. We had a woman who had died, the executor of her will and trust. He happened to know Kathleen. And when Kathleen said, well, you know, I want in my financial dealings everything spelled out that I want stuff to go to Pacific Wildlife Care. And he said, to who? He really had never heard of us. And apparently the woman who had all this money, she hadn't heard of us. But she really wanted animals to be the recipient of her money. He said, well, I'd like to go find that place and visit. And so he came down, and the center director at the time was asked, what's your number one wish list? And she said, a veterinarian, our own veterinarian. We had been using the locals all over the county. They had to squeeze us in around their regular patients, you know, on their lunch hours, or, you know, they'd have to say, oh, yeah, this one needs surgery, but, you know, bring it back. I'll try and squeeze it on Tuesday. And so the animals were getting shuffled around a lot. And the amazing thing about this veterinarian was that she was a wildlife veterinarian, and we already knew her. She had already been consulting and sometimes coming by and giving advice, and she had already said, you know, I wouldn't mind working here if you ever get the money together. And so this guy just wrote the check.
That's so great.
And that was the first year.
And what's her name and how long has she been here?
Her name's Shannon Riggs. That was in 2012. She started in January of 2013.
Full-time, I love it.
Full-time, and wildlife veterinarian. I mean, the other folks, they did the best they could, but they were not trained in wildlife.
Let's talk a little bit more specific about wildlife and what that means here. Because, for example, I used to think that you guys took in the sea otters, and you don't. And it's primarily avian, and I know firsthand turtles.
Right. We get mostly birds, especially we get a lot of seabirds. We have quite a few mammals, and then we do get a few reptiles.
Give us some names of some of the animal species.
Every native species in San Luis County, except marine mammals, except adult deer, adult bear, adult mountain lions. We had last year two bobcats with broken pelvises that were both fixed up by magic Dr. Riggs and released. Possums, raptors, owls.
We've had a couple of beavers.
Beavers.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a 52-pound beaver, yes.
Where did they find the beaver?
It apparently got picked up by a golden eagle that couldn't hold it and dropped it, and one of our volunteers dropped it near her barn out by the Paso Robles Airport. Dr. Riggs looked at it and went, holy cow, had big talon marks on its back where apparently it had been dropped.
And it wasn't any place near water.
No, way far from Franklin Ponds, which is actually where it went back, yeah. So you name it, we've seen it here.
The birds that you get, what happens to them to bring that they get brought here?
Oh, all kinds of things. We get lots of pelicans that have hook and line injuries. That's one of the things we'd like to get out more as ways that people can interact better with wildlife. They may just be totally unaware of how they cause harm. a lot of fishermen, you know, the line gets all tangled, and they said, oh, the heck with it, I'll just cut it off. And there it is, floating out. Right now we have a turkey vulture that was affected by lead poisoning. If it's ingested, say somebody shoots with lead a ground squirrel on their property, they leave it there, something, whatever it is, it might be a bobcat, it might be a turkey vulture, whatever, it gets in its stomach and it gives it lead poisoning.
It takes one pellet.
Not too long ago, there was legislation passed that outlawed lead bullets, and there was even a mission to hand out bullets to hunters that were non-lead. And I was told just the other day that the new administration has now eliminated that, so now we can have lead bullets again.
I don't know the specifics, but we're hoping that the California law will override that, which is not actually in effect for a couple more years. But there are organizations. I know Ecologistics Biodiversity First has a program for providing free lead-free shot if people will turn in their old lead shot. So, they're trying to aggressively address that.
So it's a real mission of community awareness then.
Educate, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people feel like if it's on their own property, they can do whatever they like, but it does have ramifications.
How does an animal typically get here? Do you get a call from somebody that finds a bird that's wounded, and do you have a little bird ambulance that goes out and picks them up?
We have our 543 Wild that people call. That's our hotline number. And we have volunteers during the daytime hours that have shifts, and they call into the hotline to find out who's called in. And then they follow up to see, if the person who found it can bring it in to us. And that would be our preference because we don't have that many volunteers that can do transport. If not, then we try and find a transporter that can go out and pick it up and bring it in so it can be examined. That's two volunteer positions, is into the hotline and transport.
I think a lot of the hotline calls also are public education, that people will call in and say, yikes, I have a skunk under my deck. What do I do? You know, or I saw something, what do I do? So a lot of it, I think probably a third of the calls at least, are just people asking questions just to kind of glean knowledge.
Do y'all go into the schools and talk to the elementary school and junior high?
We have an education team, which we have probably about 10 or so unreleasable animals that we can take out to places like schools. They can go to service organizations or to festivals if they're not too noisy. They always appear at the Winter Bird Festival. We have Meet the Raptors it's always a Saturday at Morro Bay Winter Bird Festival. And
what are some of the raptors that you have that you bring out?
We have a peregrine falcon. We have two red-tailed hawks, an opossum, which doesn't go to Meet the Raptors. We have a raven.
All unreleasable, that's why they live here?
They're non-releasable, yeah. And we have a
great horned owl. Beautiful American kestrel.
They're a wonderful resource and wonderful for people to see.
Sitting in front of me is a beautiful owl poster called Wild in the Plaza. And this is a celebration coming up Saturday, May 13th at noon to 4 p.m. in the Mission Plaza in San Luis Obispo. And the point of the Wild in the Plaza is?
It's both to make sure that more people find out about us, because we're constantly meeting people that have never heard of Pacific Wildlife Care, and they may find an animal and they don't know what to do with it, but also to educate the public about the things that they can do to help wildlife. I mean, of course they can come volunteer with us and give money to us, and we'd love that, but there's simple things they can do, such as not trimming their trees in the springtime when the birds are nesting. I mean, there's just a plethora of things that they can do, and we want to be able to tell them about them. And, of course, this is a free family event, so we'd really like to engage children and teenagers so that they get a sense of, you know, how wonderful wildlife can be and learn more about them.
It looks great. You have clowns and performers and crafts and face painting and skits, wild costumes, music and food. This is going to be a wonderful day.
Oh yeah, it's going to be lots of fun. We're encouraging children to wear wildlife costumes or make them when they're there. This wonderful poster that we have, the design was actually drawn by a young woman who is, I believe, a freshman in high school at Morro Bay High School. And she's going to be there doing face painting and doing some of the other decorations for the event.
Do you have it posted on your website? Somebody could take a look at it?
Yes, we do.
And your website is?
It's pacificwildlifecare.org.
It's a stunningly beautiful owl, and this young girl obviously has a future as an artist.
Oh, yes. Indeed, she does.
Again, the Wild in the Plaza on May 13th, Sunday, noon to 4 p.m. is all about celebrating Pacific Wildlife Care's 30th anniversary.
That's right. We just had a proclamation that was read at the San Luis Obispo County Supervisors.
A resolution acknowledging and thanking for 30 years of wildlife rescue rehabilitation.
And your phone number again, I love that.
It's 543-WILD.
Let's go take a look at some of your animals before I go. Can we go back and see them?
Sure.
Okay, so here we are. We're like in a operating room.
Yeah, well, not the operating room. This is just the examining room. Mm-hmm. They always take blood and weight before examining. And we've got two examination tables. And we have a place over here we can examine the blood, do fecal analysis.
Oh, there's a duck behind you.
This pelly box right here, we've got a little mallard with 9 eggs that are about to be little ducklings.
Oh, wow.
That she's sitting on.
And how did the mallard wind up coming here?
Apparently she was nesting in a parking lot and someone's dog was after her, so the rescuer just picked up the duck and the nest and brought them to us. So she's going to hatch 9 babies.
So she's not wounded?
No, she's fine, and 9 of the 11 are viable, and they're just percolating along and ready to hatch. So these pelly boxes are rolling cages for animals that are not really ready to go outside yet, that may have a fixator, may have an eating problem, or like our little duck with nest, can't go outside yet. We have a seabird room for seabird rehab, for a room that can be kept warmer with warm pools that are for ducks that are either going through an oiled wash and need to start preening and getting themselves waterproof again.
This from oil spill?
And there's a lot of natural seepage. We do several oil washes, usually a month, that might be a bird or 2 birds that most come from South County, just natural oil seepage. Have a dishwash and food prep areas. And maybe the more interesting thing would be looking at some of our patients here, that just like hospitals, every room has a separate board for every patient, identifying what their issues are, what their medications are, what their food criteria is. And several rooms like this one of different versions of wall caging and table caging. For here we've got a beautiful little king snake and opossums and a great horned owl.
And how did the king snake come here?
He got attacked by something. His head was bitten, but he's doing very well. Beautiful, beautiful king snake that we hope to release. And the famous baby bird room, which we would love to...
Oh, would love to
do a shout-out for volunteers.
Yes, because baby bird season is starting soon. We've already gotten a few.
And these are ones that fall out of their nest?
Fall out of the nest, or they get, say, a predator would attack a little nest of hummingbirds. We've gotten in 2 baby hummingbirds already. So, and we've gotten several little tiny baby eyes closed western gray tree squirrels. And we got in this morning a group of 2 tiny, tiny 3-inch long opossums. So the babies are starting.
What happens to the animals? Do they all live here forever?
Oh, certainly not. Our goal is to release them back into the wild. And so we do that with as many of them as we can. And one of the things that Dr. Riggs really brought to us is really an appreciation that we are not just looking for, is the wing kind of okay now if it was broken? No, it's is the wing strong and is the bird ready to go out and survive in the wild, because it's a jungle out there, and you know they got to be really
top
fit.
Athletes, yeah. Dr. Riggs brought a lot of new programs that we have implemented now for maintaining that kind of that ethic of are they fit to be released, and that includes live hunting minnow program, so that she can watch to see that the herons, egrets can live hunt before they get released to make sure they can feed themselves. Oh, and here's our magician, Dr. Shannon Riggs.
Thanks, Kathleen.
What is the most interesting, exciting, or unusual case that you've had?
That's so difficult.
Tell us about the beaver that bit your foot.
Okay, well, she was interesting then because she was found in the barn of one of our volunteers in Paso, nowhere near any water. Her only real problem was she had a bunch of puncture wounds like around her rear end. The assumption is that something grabbed her and tried to pick her up and drag her away, but she was too heavy. She was about 40 pounds and dropped her in the vicinity of this barn. So we didn't really have to do much with her other than treat her with antibiotics for a little over a week and feed her. She was a very healthy beaver. When we decided to release her, we took her to the Salinas River where there was still some water flowing. And when we went to release her, we just take them in a big kennel, open the door, let them do what they want to do. So we put her in the kennel facing the water, assuming she was going to go straight into the water. Instead, she decides to turn back around and charge at me, like blatantly attacked me. The water was right in front of her. No, she made a special effort to turn back around and charge at me.
To thank her vet.
Yeah, thanks a lot. 40 pounds of raging beaver coming at
me. That's great. All right, parting thoughts before we go.
We just want everyone to know that we're here, Pacific Wildlife Care, and what a fabulous organization it is and the good work that we do.
One more time, website and phone number.
PacificWildlifeCare.org and 543 Wild, and we can always use money. It costs $32,000 a month to keep us afloat.
There you go. We've been speaking with Meg Crockett and Kathleen Dillon and Shannon, the vet to beavers. And I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Pacific Wildlife Care in Morro Bay, California.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.